Well, welcome everybody to our Sunday morning church with a difference. We can't be together as we normally would be. And welcome to our Mothering Sunday service with a difference. Mothering Sunday with a difference. Many of us can't be with our families in the way that we would like to be today. However, we thank God for technology, which enables us to stay connected and to participate together in listening to God's word, in singing songs and praying together. As you watch this video, you might want to sing along with the songs, or you might simply want to listen to them, and I encourage you to participate in any of the prayers that come on the screen. With the coronavirus outbreak, there's so much for us to take in, so much to get our heads around, isn't there? Lots to make us feel worried, lots to make us feel afraid, and perhaps this morning you're anxious about the medical impact of all this, or you're worried about the financial consequences of this, or you're worried about the social impact of being isolated. I'm already missing our church gatherings, and it's only really just begun. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for us not to be able to meet together as normal, and it's a huge thing that's affecting us all. So it's understandable if we find ourselves feeling worried or afraid at the moment. However, we do need to keep hearing the truth of the Bible, and it's God's truth that's going to help us respond to this in a way that really honors him. And there are so many verses in the Bible that can help us, but here's one just for now, and it's one that's been on my mind very much in recent weeks and months. And it's Romans 8 verse 28, which says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." Now, the greatest good, of course, is becoming more like Jesus. That's what the Apostle Paul goes on to say God's best good for us is in the next verse, verse 29. God is working in all things to bring about that good, becoming like Jesus, in our lives. And that all things there includes even the coronavirus. So he can and he will bring good even from this bad situation, changing us into the likeness of his son. And Jesus was someone who perfectly loved God and perfectly loved his neighbor. So God will use this thing that's happening in our world at the moment to help us, his people, to love him more and to love others more. And that would be a brilliant thing, wouldn't it, to come out of this whole time of challenge and difficulty. It would be a good thing because it would bring glory to God. And we need to remember that that's the reason why we're here. I'm going to pray, so let's pray together. Father God, in the time that we spend together now, albeit at a distance, we pray that you'd help us to hear your word. Please remind us of how big and great you are and how big your love for us in Jesus is. Please take away our fear and strengthen our faith. Help us to sing your praises, to bring our prayers to you, and to encourage one another in Christ. Amen. Romans 8 goes on to say that God is for us and with us. No one can really therefore be against us, and nothing can ever, ever, ever separate us from his love. We are more than conquerors through Jesus, the one who's conquered all evil on the cross. So if we trust in Jesus, we're in the safest place we can ever be. We don't have to be afraid of anyone. We don't have to be afraid of anything.
Good morning. Why don't I lead us in prayer as we begin? Please help us, Heavenly Father, this morning to see just how much Jesus loves us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We live in a world that always wants to go bigger and better, don't we? And so I thought this morning we could do something bigger, something better, something more incredible than has ever been done in these four walls before. So I thought to myself, who is in the business of going bigger and better? My first thought was McDonald's. Their food can definitely make you bigger, can't it? But I'm not sure about better. But then it came to me. The Guinness World Records. They are in the business of doing crazy big things. And so today, right here, I am going to break a world record. Now, unfortunately, Guinness World Records couldn't be here in person due to the coronavirus, but they were so confident that I was going to break this record that they've sent the award to me already. And I am going to break the record for the longest plank ever. The longest plank ever. I know you're amazed at home. If you don't know what a plank is, then you can Google it after lunch. Maybe give your lunch an hour to settle and then see how long you can last doing a plank. And now I've been training for this. I've done a few Joe Wicks high intensity interval training sessions, hits for those who are in the know. I feel ready for it. I am going to smash this. And to be honest, I saw in the news not long ago that the record is held by a 62-year-old man. I can do a plank longer than a 62-year-old man. Easy. Now, I need to get myself ready. I have got my sweatband. I don't want my sweat going into my eyes, do I? I'm going to put my sweatband on. Let's do this. Now, before I do it, I do just need to check how long, how many minutes I need to hold this record for. So just bear with me one second. Right, Guinness record for longest plank. What? 8 hours and 15 minutes. Are you having a... He's 62. 8 hours and 15 minutes. What a monster. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, that's impossible. I look stupid in this. Oh, and I don't deserve this. That can go. Oh, man. Well, don't worry. Don't worry. All is not lost. I read this morning about something else massive, something huge, something unbelievably big in this Mother's Day card that I got for my mum. I probably should have sent this to her, to be honest. But anyway, it says, "Mum, thanks for providing me with love that is never ending, just like your voicemails." And inside, I wrote a loving message. It says, "To Mum, thanks so much for loving me. Thanks for loving me so much. Love from Simon." See, if it's passed you by, today is Mother's Day. I hope that doesn't come as a surprise to you. If it does, then you can get crafting after we've finished here. But Mother's Day is a day when we celebrate something massive. And that's a mother's love for their children. And the love of all those who mother us, who love us and care for us. I'm sure lots of us have been on the receiving end of a mother's incredible love. As a baby, all those nappy changes and nighttime feeds. Teaching us to crawl and walk. Making us feel better when we're sad. Putting food on the table. Maybe even going out to work whilst juggling looking after us as well. And some of our mums may have even been the first person to teach us about Jesus. It's right, isn't it, that we thank God today for our mums and those who mother us. We thank God for their amazing love for us. But then I was reading my Bible this week and I read about an even bigger love than a mother's love. A mother's love is massive, but it's not perfect, is it? This might not be popular, but I'm going to say it. Even the best mums sometimes get things wrong, don't they? They can let us down. Maybe for some of us, our mums have even hurt us really badly at times. Because our mums are human, aren't they? They aren't perfect, they're sinners just like us. And so they get things wrong. But in our Bible reading today, the Apostle Paul talks about a love that is perfect. That is so big that it's hard to get our heads around. Let's take a look at that together. We're going to have our Bible reading now, and that's from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. So do grab a Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14.
Hello everyone, today's reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled in the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Did you just hear how much the Bible tells us that Jesus loves us? It is a massive amount. Paul here is writing to Christians in Ephesus, which is a really old city that is now in Turkey. And he's saying, my prayer for you is that you realise how big Jesus' love for you is. It's bigger than you can ever get your heads around. It's as if he says, take the widest part of the solar system. That's 287 billion kilometres wide. Well, Jesus' love for you is wider. Take the longest ever plank in the world, over 8 hours. Well, Jesus' love for you is wider. Climb to the heights of Mount Everest and Jesus' love for you is still higher. Swim to the depths of the deepest part of the ocean. Well, you're still not as deep as Jesus' love for you. Paul says that such love surpasses knowledge. It's so massive, it's beyond our understanding. It's too big for us to know. So much so that we need God's help to know it. We need his power to start to grasp just how big Jesus' love for us is. See, without God's help, we can't grasp how big Jesus' love for us is. And we struggle to even believe it's true. Do you ever find yourself thinking, does God really love me? Does he really care about me and want what's best for me? Can I really trust him? See, I think if we're honest with ourselves, many of us struggle to believe that Jesus loves us this much, don't we? And the Bible tells us that the part of the reason for that is because we've all been taken in by the most successful lie ever told. It's the lie that was told by the serpent, Satan, in the garden to Adam and Eve, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. God had given Adam and Eve a clear command, hadn't he? You can eat any tree, any fruit from any tree in the garden, such generosity, but there is one tree you must not eat from. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. A loving command from a loving God to those he had made. Don't eat from that tree, for when you do, you will die. But then Satan came along, and he says, you will not certainly die. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan is saying, God isn't being kind by saying that. No, he doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't love you, he just wants to spoil your fun. God is a killjoy, not a loving God. He doesn't want what's best for you, he wants to keep you down. Well, we know what happened next. Adam and Eve believed the lie that God didn't want what's best for them, that he didn't really love them, and so they ate the fruit. And just as God said, they did die. See, God did really love them. He did want what was best for them. It was a loving instruction. But Satan's lie has continued throughout human history. God doesn't care about you. He doesn't really want what's best for you. He's a killjoy. He doesn't love you. And so naturally, we struggle to believe that God loves us or cares about us. So we need God's help to see just how much Jesus loves us. Because the Bible is very clear, Jesus' love for us is limitless. It never stops. In every direction, it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. It blows all of the love out of the water, and no other love compares to it. I mean, just think about it for a minute. Let's take Boris Johnson, our Prime Minister. Let's say Boris loves us this much. He does care about us a little bit, doesn't he? Yeah. And let's say the Queen. Well, the Queen loves us probably a bit more. We like the Queen, don't we? She loves us a little bit more. And our church family. Well, let's say they love us this much. They do. They really love us, don't they? And our brothers and sisters. Well, they love us this much. Even if they won't admit it, they love us this much. And our mum and dad, well, they love us this much. They love us a lot, don't they? Well, Jesus, the Bible tells us that this is how much Jesus loves us. Look at what Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we look at the cross, we start to get a sense of just how much Jesus loves us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is, while we were rejecting God, ignoring him and living for ourselves, wanting nothing to do with him, saying to him that we want to be king of our own lives, and we don't want Jesus as king. See, that's what sin is. It's rebelling against God and his right rule over our lives. Well, that is exactly when Jesus came to the earth and died for us. Jesus loved us enough to die for us while we wanted nothing to do with him. Isn't that incredible love? A love that would give its life for those who have set themselves up as an enemy against him. And Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, so that we might be forgiven for rejecting God, for our sin, making it possible for us to be friends with God at great cost to himself. Can you even start to get your head around just how much Jesus must love us if he was willing to die for us, so that we can be friends with God, so that we can say sorry for our sin, for rebelling against God, and put our trust in Jesus and be friends with God? And that is the type of love that is willing to go to any length for our good. And the type of love that will never forget about us, that will never let us go, that will keep a hold of us to the very end. And the Bible says Jesus is God's King, and he's in control of all things, and he loves us a mind-blowing amount. Enough to die for us. Isn't that an amazing comfort? That Jesus is in charge of everything and he loves us so much. And he has done everything necessary for us to be friends with God. And so Paul's prayer here is that with God's help, we might together as Christians begin to grasp just how big Jesus' love for us is. And not just as head knowledge, but to have experienced that love for ourselves. To know for ourselves just how much Jesus loves for us. And what a great thing to be praying for each other at the moment. What a difference it would make if we really grasped how much Jesus loves us. We would know that even with everything going on, Jesus cares about us. And he knows what's best for us. And he's in absolute control of everything. And therefore nothing that is happening is outside of the control of our loving King's hands. So we can trust him and we can hand scary things over to him in prayer, knowing that he loves us and cares about us. But not only that, because once we begin to grasp just how much Jesus loves us, well, then we'll become a people who love others just like Jesus loves us. We will be transformed and changed by that love. It will flow out of us into the whole of our lives. We will look for opportunities to love other people as Jesus has loved us and does love us. We will share what we have with others. We will help people who are struggling, those who are stuck in their houses at the moment. We will tell people the good news about Jesus' amazing love for them. We will be generous with our brothers and sisters, sharing even our favourite toys so that they can enjoy them as well. We will want to love other people and be kind to them because we have come face to face with such incredible love in Jesus. We will never be the same again, and every day we will want to say, "Thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much. Help me to love others as you have loved me." So today, on Mother's Day, as we thank God for the love of our mothers and all those who've helped to raise us, why not also thank God for Jesus' love for us? You could even write Jesus a card just like this one that I made for my mum, saying, "Thank you for loving me so much." We could even write cards to one another, telling each other or telling other people just how much Jesus loves them. Wouldn't it be great to receive that reminder as we go into this week? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our mums and for all those who've helped to raise us over many years. Thank you for their love for us and care and concern. But we thank you as well today for Jesus' love for us. And we do pray that you would help us all together to grasp, to see just how wide and long and high and deep is Jesus' love for us. Help us to see the depth of his love that took him to the cross to die for us. And may that be a comfort to us at this time. And may we love others as Jesus loves us. In whose name we pray. Amen.
God's love for us is so big that we can never fully understand it. But we can see it at the cross. And the brilliant thing is we can enjoy it. We're going to sing now of God's immeasurable love for us shown in Jesus in our next song, "Sooner Count the Stars."